My name's Simran, and welcome to Untangled, the podcast where we'll take a deep dive into topics to try and gain a better understanding of the world. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Untangled. If you're new here, then welcome. And this is actually the last episode in the series because I'm starting university soon. And I thought this would be a good place to end the series, and I'll probably do some more episodes with some surprises later on. Usually I tend to say that if you listen to the podcast at a 1.5 to 2 times speed, then it's more beneficial. So you could consider that, especially if you're short on time. It does just make them a little bit more quick and punchy. I'm delighted to have Mithil here with us, who's my cousin, who works in London. And Mithil, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Mithil, and I'm an economics graduate who works in the public sector in London. But as you rightly pointed out, most importantly, I'm your cousin, one of 21 cousins in total. Yeah, I just want to say real quick that, yeah, I'm a huge fan of this podcast. And I think this podcast is really important in bringing forth our wealth of ideas and knowledge.
I'm happy to have you on. It's really exciting and it's a cool topic. We're talking about, is there enough success for all of us? So this topic was based on our family friend's video called Avi TV.
So Avi, we met Avi a couple of years ago, and he's become such a big part of our lives. And one thing Avi is known for is being really inspirational. And I think that his YouTube channel is definitely going to be a channel for that. And the video itself really got me thinking, because it's not a thing that we often think about. Like, we think about success, but only for ourselves. Like, how can I be successful? What can I do to become successful? And I think what Avi's video really brought forward was, hang on, success should be for everyone. We should all try and bring success for everyone. And he touched on the idea that success as a concept is not a finite resource, and that anyone can be successful. Anyone and everyone can be successful. While it may sound like a very basic concept, I think there's quite a lot of complexities to it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to exploring those in more detail.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good encapsulation of it, kind of essence of the feeling of the video. But yes, it's an interesting question, because is there enough success for all of us? And it seems like a basic thing, like, that we should all want it for everyone. But then also there are certain situations where, like, in life we don't feel that way. And where, like, and then I think, like, our own experiences. So you're like, I'm a medical student and you're working in London, and you've had a whole load of different experiences to me. And sort of, where have we seen that? I guess it's, so Avi introduces this thing called the abundance mindset and the scarcity mindset.
Yeah, I think that, as you're saying, like, throughout our lives, we kind of go through motions of abundance mindset to scarcity mindset to abundance mindset. And we learn both types of mindset at different stages of our lives, especially when it comes to, like, education or work. And I guess just to briefly touch on what those mean exactly.
Yeah.
So what I think abundance mindset means, and by me, I mean Google, is that it's a way of, like, thinking whereby you see life as a series of endless and unlimited possibilities. So whenever you approach each and every interaction, you see it as a win-win situation rather than, like, a zero-sum game where your win is someone else's loss and someone else's gain is your loss. So I think that's a really good mindset to have when you're approaching, like, at societal level. I think when you're talking to other people and when you're trying to inspire other people, it's definitely a good mindset to have, because it opens you up to loads of possibilities. And as you rightly said, if you're not living in an abundance mindset, you are open to being envious of other people rather than seeing what they've got and being happy for them and wanting it for yourself, of course, but just being happy that there is success in the world. I think then you have the polar opposite of that, which is, like, the scarcity mindset. And that is, I saw a really good definition for that. So it's where you see success as a finite pie. So if one person takes a big piece of that pie, your thinking is that that leaves less of the pie for everyone else. So if you're living with that sort of mentality, you're always thinking that if one person wins, that automatically means you're going to be less well off, or you're going to lose as a result.
Yeah, it's the scarcity mindset would be seeing people as your competitors, whereas abundance would be, like, welcoming that and seeing them as sort of making you better and everyone growing together. Whereas scarcity would be like afraid of being replaced or...
I think if you live with that mindset, you're all seeing everyone who's successful as like a threat rather than an opportunity for you to learn from them. Especially if they're in your field, right? You should be actively seeking successful people, because if you surround yourself with those sort of people, you're more likely to be successful yourself. If you look at successful people and try and put them down to make yourself feel better, or you actively avoid them to make yourself feel better, you're not going to progress. And I think that's where the abundance mindset is so much more beneficial to you.
And so I guess we've really raved about the abundance mindset being a really great thing, but do you ever think there's a place for a scarcity mindset? Or do you think, because some people would say that it's realistic, like there, like if you do have a pie, there's only a limited amount of pie. So I mean, that's true, and there isn't always enough pie for everyone. So like I suppose some people would argue that the abundance mindset is really great in theory and it sounds really nice, but when people think about resource allocation and stuff, is there enough for all of us, and can we afford to have this abundance mindset, or do you think that that can be dangerous as well in some situations?
I guess your question here is like, can there be enough success for everyone, right? And I guess if everyone has the abundance mindset, could it be that there's just not enough to go around? And I think that way of thinking kind of has a very narrow view of success, in that we as a society look at success as being very wealthy or consuming a lot. I think when we have that such a narrow view of what success means, then if we're all competing for the same version of success, it is only natural that there will be scarcity. So when we talk about success being for everyone on a personal level, if you look at it on more of a societal level, there is the possibility of there being scarcity. But what I would say to that is that it's really important for us to have a very different views of success. It's not a one size fits all concept, success. Success should mean different things to different people. Because if we all define success as being extremely wealthy, then obviously it's not the case that everyone can be successful. Because for someone to be rich, there must be the existence of being poor. And if we define success as being able to consume a lot, then again, success becomes a scarce commodity, because obviously, as you're saying, there's a scarce amount of physical resources on the planet. So I think if we create more of a personalized view of success, in which we are like content, then there's infinite success to go around. But if we chase after the same success, and I guess in modern day society, that success is defined as financial wealth being able to consume a lot, if we move away from that, then I think that's when you have an abundance.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's part of the problem, is that these days, like in society, we define success as this one very like limited thing sometimes. Like people might assume success is financial wealth or like how much you consume, like you said. But where the abundance mindset comes in is that focus on success just being that personal level. And actually then if we're all competing for the same, like everyone's going to want a different kind of pie, I suppose. And the pies aren't the same for everyone. And we all have different experiences, and so naturally we're all going to want different things, and we shouldn't all like strive for the same things. But I suppose like society goes through like waves of valuing different things in people, and then people are naturally drawn to like wanting those things. I don't know if that makes sense.
Could you repeat that?
So like society goes through phases of valuing different things in people. I don't know if this is a good point. So it might be it might be like one day they don't like big butts, and then the next day they do like big butts. But there's no scarcity, like everyone can have a big butt if they do squats. I don't know. I just really liked your thing about the like success is really personal to everyone. And I think as well with like social media, it's really easy for a certain idea of success to be kind of perpetuated through society. It's kind of like this herd mentality of like success is this one thing. And especially with like Instagram and influencer culture, I think that has the potential for everyone to like look up to a certain Instagram influencer who's really fit, or perhaps they do other things like makeup, or and I think people like strive, maybe, I don't know, for a certain idea of success in like groups. So like all like you and your friends might strive or have an idea of what success is, and then another friendship group might have a different idea, but like in your own little bubble you have this certain idea of success. But yeah,
no, I definitely agree with that. I think if you are in a bubble, your ideas of success converge. I think that was evident for me at school, and it was evident for me at university. I studied economics at university, so for me I was in a bit of a bubble in that the majority of people around me were actively striving to work in the finance industry once they graduated. Mm-hmm. And at uni we were really only ever encouraged to look at the finance industry as a possible avenue for employment. And yeah, to the point where everyone's idea of success kind of converged to working in finance and banking, like, as you pointed out, because we were all in that sort of bubble where everyone had sort of the herd mentality. And because most of us had the same definition for success, we all changed the same jobs, and obviously that made those jobs a scarcity, right? Because there's only a certain number of jobs to go around. And I think me being in that environment where everyone's trying to get the same jobs, what I thought was, what my view of success was, began to narrow down significantly, to the point where I saw working in the finance industry as the only possible way that I was going to be successful. And that kind of aligned with what I used to think as a child. Like one of my cousins recently said that when I was a kid, I used to always talk about wanting to be a CEO, and I used to want to land my own helicopter on the Burj Al Arab.
Wow. That's a very limited view of success.
Very specific. Yeah. So I think when I was at uni, I didn't really challenge my own thinking. Like, I didn't really understand that I wasn't the same person that I was when I was younger. And I think more importantly, I wasn't the same person as everyone in my peer group. So I kind of just followed along with the herd. And so I ended up getting a job in the finance industry. And I think it took me a year to figure out that what my idea of success was to make it like a difference to people's lives, and also to make a living out of my passion for like global affairs, which is why I'm in the public sector now, right? And like, I'm not trying to disparage those who are working in finance. If that's your passion, like, that's amazing. But I think it's really important that you constantly challenge your existing set of beliefs to make sure that, I guess, like, they're an accurate reflection of who you are now, not a false version of you that you just created to fit in, like, it's just to fit in with everyone else. Because if you do that, if you create a false version of what you're like, then your idea of success will naturally follow on from that. And then you'll pursue that and you'll end up down the path that you realize, hang on, this isn't actually me. And I mean, I definitely experienced that. And it's not necessarily like I'm the only one chasing after success. Like, all my peers might be genuinely passionate about finance. It's just that I wasn't, and I wasn't being true to myself. And which is why I went down another path, because I actually realized what I wanted. But I mean, talking to my other friends in the finance industry, they seem really passionate about it. So they're actually living true to who they are. And in a way, that's kind of inspiring for me, because I want to be like that. Okay. And that's who I'm trying to be.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point about living true to your values, and not like society might have an idea of what success is. And then, but you actually might turn down an opportunity for, quote, success, to live true to your own values. So if you have you've heard of Steve Wozniak? I think I hadn't heard of him. But he
the
was
Apple dude, right?
Before. Yeah. So okay, maybe he's more famous than I thought. But like, he's an example of someone who lived true to his values and didn't take on society's idea of what success is. So he happened to be the founder of Apple with Steve Jobs. And he loved like engineering, and so Steve Jobs wanted him to take on this like managerial role, like lead the company, be a manager. But he knew that wasn't him, and he was like, I'm happy being a simple engineer. Like, I don't need to have the highest position. And then if you Google him, Steve Wozniak, he looks like the happiest guy on earth. and he if he'd have taken that highest position, which would have been more quote successful. If he had like given into that and not really lived true to himself or his values, then he wouldn't have been this happy guy that he is today. So I read that in this book from this guy called Alex Benayan, who he basically is this kid and he wants to know the secret to success from all the like successful people in the world. So he interviews like Gates, loads of other people, and then he gets an interview with Steve Wozniak, and he said Steve was by far the happiest person that he'd met, true to his values. About
yeah,
that.
I mean, yeah, it's brilliant because he thought, "What does success look like for me? Forget about what Steve Jobs is doing. Like Steve Jobs is out and about shaking hands, being a great manager, and Steve Jobs was obviously very successful in what he was doing. And Steve Wozniak could have looked at Steve Jobs and said, "I'm going to be. That's what success looks like. Let me pursue that." And he would have gone down this path and realized, no, that's not what I wanted. But he took the time to think, hang on, what do I actually want in life? Like, the world isn't my oyster, right? I'm very smart. I've got a good engineering background. What do I actually want to do? And I think that the fact that he followed what he actually wanted to do really made him successful. He may not have earned as much money as if he'd gone down another path, but money is such a narrow part, it's such a small part of what success is, and it could be the case that money is not even any part.
Yeah, and I guess you were saying on like your personal level, you noticed that you had that scarcity mindset because you were focusing on the same version of success as all your peers, and I think that is true in medicine as well. And like when we think about like why do we have this scarcity mindset sometimes, and I think sometimes it's the environment around us which kind of enforces that or like kind of encourages it. So like in medicine, one thing I find really bad is that just like how competitive it is sometimes. So like we're kind of pitted against each other as medical students in our cohort because we're ranked, like at the end of the year, our exams are ranked. So you kind of find that people have this culture of like not sharing notes, which is really problematic, I find.
I think that's just the nature of the system that's been put in place, right? Like an artificial system that makes that scarcity mindset exist.
Yeah, because there's studies of ranking being like making people work harder and do better, but I just don't think that's the best system.
Yeah, like medicine should definitely be a collaborative environment, right? Because you're working together to treat people. I think if the system that's been put in place actively encourages a scarcity mindset, then it's kind of incumbent on you to go the opposite way and encourage an abundance mindset. So if there's if there is a ranking system, that provides an opportunity to rise above that. And like, if your ultimate goal is not to come first, but to actually save people's lives, then the abundance mindset is really important. Like actively ensuring that the people in your cohort are learning, becoming great doctors is in the interests of everyone. But it's kind of like a system that's been put in place from a young age. So I don't know if this was for you, but when I was doing maths at secondary school, like whenever I did well in the test, I didn't really like see myself as successful if other people did well as well. And I think that's because you were ranked based on your test score. And I don't know what the research is like on this, but if you were ranked based on your progress, so how well you've done since the last test, I think that's a really good way forward.
Yeah,
because definitely. When you're ranked, success is finite because only one person can come first, right? But if you're basically scored based on how much you've progressed, that's infinite because everyone can progress. Everyone can be better than they were yesterday. Like everyone can grow.
Exactly.
And when you start grading and comparing students, like that's when you get that scarcity mindset. And maybe it just needs a change in the education system and the way we do things in this country.
Definitely, you should be the education minister. but that's such a good point because that really encourages that growth mindset. And there actually is research on if you educate kids about the plasticity of the brain, or if you educate kids on that they can improve. If you teach kids that there's talent and that's it, that you're either talented or you're not, people will just give up. Say like in maths, so there's a concept called maths anxiety, where like in psychology, you get some people, especially it's more common in girls, it was found that if you approach a problem and you can't do it, then you're more likely to give up if you think that you can't grow or you can't, if you have this fixed mindset. But if you teach kids that they can, they can learn and they can improve, and their ability is not fixed, they can progress, then they perform loads better. And it's just that simple concept of teaching that.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
And it's about teaching them that, okay, you may not reach the level of the person top in the class, or you may, but that's not your goal. Your goal is to improve yourself and grow. And you may actually be bottom of the class in terms of your absolute score, but if you've done like better, if you've got a higher mark than you got 3 weeks ago, that's growth. And that's what we should be really encouraging, that growth mindset, rather than that absolute where are you ranked mindset. But no, that sounds really interesting. Yeah. Actually, I'm sure there's a lot of research on this out there. It's a shame that hasn't trickled through into actual like tangible policy.
That's very true. I think we've come up with something here. Did you come up with that progress thing yourself? Ranking against progress.
Yeah, because I think it's from my own experience when I was at secondary school. Like, I was in the top set of maths and I was pretty good at maths, but I wasn't top of the class. And for me, I just felt like I wasn't successful because of that. And I might have been getting better and better at maths, but because I wasn't top or doing better than people at the top, I just didn't feel like I was doing good. And it could be the case that I was actually doing better than them, because my trajectory was that I was improving at a faster rate than them. But I think the way that we are tested now, it's impossible to know that, because each test you're given, you get a score, and then the teachers don't really talk to you about, oh, you're doing better than before. It's just always about how well you're doing in this current moment compared to everyone else.
They try to do it in schools where, so you get a grade for your how good you are at A, B, C or whatever. In my school, this is what happened. And then you get a grade for like how hard you try. Yeah.
No, we also had that actually.
Definitely.
I didn't often score high for effort, I must admit.
Yeah, which is the danger.
Yeah. You get complacent, I think, if you're getting high attainment but your effort's really low. Because when you get into later in life,
you're one of those annoying ones.
Yeah. No, but like, that's the thing. In later in life, you will get found out if you're not putting in the effort. And you might be naturally talented, but if there's certain things in life that doesn't matter how talented you are, it's just about the hard graft. Like business, for example, like you could be really talented intellectually, but if you don't have that work ethic, I don't think you will succeed at business. And that's where you get found out.
Yes, or most things, really.
Yeah.
It's only so much you can rely on how talented you are. And then what do you think about, so we touched on Instagram and like influencers. Did you have any other views on that?
So when it comes to success, it's like we only sometimes see ourselves as successful if our successes are like seen by other people and validated by other people. And I think when it comes to social media, like that truth is really evident. Like, why do we always like strive to post good things on social media? Because we don't think we're successful until someone said, oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, that's when they validate our success. And that's such an unhealthy relationship to have, because it kind of warps your view of success. And you could almost reach the point where you're spending more time and energy on looking successful than actually being successful, which is kind of like the life of an influencer, right? Like, the idea of success for an influencer is just other people thinking that they're successful, regardless of whether they're successful or not. And I think that's such, we're living in like such a warped reality when we engage in that mindset.
I'm not sure if I agree with that fully.
Happy to be challenged.
As in, I just feel like that's bashing all influencers down in a way. And what kind of makes an influencer, though? Because don't you think that, well, it's not really a fine line. So like, you admit you're an influencer in some ways, like you have a following, like anyone who has an account, obviously there's a specific definition for influencer, maybe it's over 10,000 followers, I don't know. But like, we all influence in different ways. It might be our friends or family, or it could be, and we all aim to influence in different ways. So you'll know that like some friend, like I'm just talking on not like a large influencer scale, just like just more just general people, but like some people might post really like nice traveling pictures, or some people might show off how like good looking they are, or some people might show off how like everyone has their own, wants to portray themselves in their own way that they want to be seen. So
no, you're right. I think my point is, I think I take, like, whenever I think of influencers, I think of a very narrow definition of that. Like,
you're, what are you thinking of?
Like, you're right about influencer just doesn't always mean what I think it means is people who put up loads of pictures of their bougie lifestyles, like driving flashy cars, going on nice holidays, drinking fancy stuff, and it just doesn't, for me, it just doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like they may think they're successful, but like, I don't think that their main goal is to be successful. I think they just want to be viewed as such through that narrow lens of Instagram. No, but you're definitely right. Like, I think I'll take
I do have
quite
a
a cynical view
I
that I
kind of
have.
do agree with you though. I agree with you on that point about, say, like if I was to see influencers just that, I'm a bit of an influencer snob in that those are the type of influencers I just don't like, I suppose. Just like showing off bougie lifestyles, like it just doesn't inspire. I just don't think that inspires. I don't know, maybe it does inspire some people, but like I think it just creates a wanting for material things rather than, and like some people might like to look at that kind of things. I don't know.
I guess it's
I
important
guess
for
we
us
need
not to
someone
be.
on the podcast to we need someone who actually likes that kind of stuff to share their view on it, but I don't know.
No, definitely. Like, I think it's really important that we don't be cynical, like, about how people view success. Like, it's really easy to get snobby about it and say, "Oh, your view of success is wrong. Mine is right." And yeah, I guess what I just said now was kind of that at play, right? Like, if people who want fancy cars and want to show off, like, I was kind of looking down on them, but I mean, they're equally valid to their version of success as I am. And like, I don't follow those sort of people on Instagram because they don't inspire me. I follow people that are inspiring in other ways, so more like along the personal development line, or like living ethical vegan lifestyles, for example. That's the sort of people I follow, because that's,
People could definitely be snobby about that, like
definitely.
say I mean, because I follow like probably like artsy things or like personal development things, like you said, or maybe like educational things. So people could be like, wow, these educate like I this educational stuff doesn't inspire me because they're just like trying to show off how intellectually, like I don't know, they could say that, I suppose.
We're definitely, this us two on this podcast are definitely like a echo chamber, right?
A little bit. But yeah, I think there is a point on that, say in any realm of like influencer, like yeah, I suppose with social media it's like people just it gives you, it's like this access to showing off your success. So say if it's like intellectual success or very being really good looking or having loads of stuff, it's all just showing off your version of success in a way. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I kind of think that, but now that we're on the subject, I think maybe that's our like scarcity mindset at play. Like, if we were looking through the lens of abundance mindset, we'd be looking at them
That is
like,
true.
oh, look, they're just trying to share their good news with us. They're just trying to share positive things to inspire us. But if we look at it from a cynical point of view, we're thinking, oh, look, they're showing off. Oh, look, why do they only post good things? It's like, I think, like, so one thing that popped to mind just now was like, when people post videos of them doing good deeds, like giving money to homeless people, stuff like that. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's so cynical. Like, you're just trying to show off. And like, do you actually mean it when you're giving money? But I think you could look at that as through another point of view, as thinking they've done a good thing and they want to inspire people to do good things as well, which is why they've shared it. Because if you hadn't seen that video, you may not have been inspired to do something else. So it's a ripple effect. So there's always two ways to look at an issue. There's always like a positive way to look at it and a negative way for anything, really.
And like people know that like, posting something that you've done like in a giving way or whatever, people are gonna say that, oh, that's not genuine, like you should just do it without posting. But then like you said, it's kind of some people view it as, well, I just want to like help other people do the same thing. So
Yeah,
kind of that
definitely.
abundance, like we can all help and like we should all,
And then we
I
complain when it's
suppose,
with bad news on, right? Like, oh, the news is always bad. It's like, yeah, because you'd hate it when there's positive news.
Yeah, it's kind of about taking yourself out of it when you see this stuff. It's like it's not about you, it's just as in not about comparing yourself to that person. It's kind of about like we should look for inspiration rather than look for, I suppose, unpicking other people's intentions because you don't know what their intention is.
Yeah, 100%.
So maybe we should just look to be inspired rather than
Yeah, like one of the
anything
definitions
else.
of abundance thinking is like sharing knowledge and being generous with others. And like, you could look at what people are doing, like when they post those videos, as them sharing knowledge and them trying to get more people into that mindset and inspire. If you have an abundance mindset, that's how you're going to view these videos, I think. So it's all about changing your mindset, and then suddenly everything looks different to you. Like, it's essentially a new world.
Definitely, like changing your mindset. Do you think that like by changing your mindset that you can then start to enjoy these apps more, or do you think the apps are actually harmful? Say like Instagram, it you have this like feature so that when you get a like you feel really good, and it just kind of enforces that needing for others to like validate you as like a successful person or whatever. So it kind of like enforces that, and also obviously it's like a mechanism for comparing yourself to others. Do you think that we can use this abundance and scarcity mindset to overcome that, or do you think that it's better just to not use Instagram as much?
So I think there's two parts to that. So in terms of like using social media, I think it's really important that you look after your personal and mental health. So like, don't follow things that you know are going to like be bad for your mental health. And so if there's someone that I don't know, if you're really jealous of someone, or I don't know, if someone really gets on your nerves, just unfollow them. But to your point about like the abundance mindset, I think if you have an abundance mindset, then when you look at any post on Facebook and Instagram, your thinking is not, oh look, they're so much better than me. Oh look, I'm jealous of them. I think if you have the abundance mindset, you'll look at those people and you will think, how do I do what they're doing? What are they doing exactly to become like that? Like, what can I do to emulate them? And then if you think about it from that point of view, rather than, oh, I'll never be like them, they're so much better than me, oh my God, look at my life, it's just a negative way. It's like such a scarcity mindset. So I think definitely changing your mindset changes what social media is like for you.
That there was a so there is this influencer, which I really like this what this guy said, because I think this is what all influencers it all influencers with a massive following should reinforce. Like I think they should reinforce this message, especially to like so many followers who just want what they've got. And this guy said, "My biggest fear of my popularity is that you think that you have to do it like me. The only hope I have when you look at me is that you try to figure out your version of you that makes you as happy as my version of me makes me." So he's into like entrepreneurship, and he said when he started entrepreneurship, like it wasn't popular or cool at all. It's only recently it's become that, and now he's become this thing. But he says when the economy dies, collapses, and it's not as cool to love entrepreneurship, he's still gonna love it because that's what he loves and that's his thing. So it's not about what everyone thinks, you think, or his parents think, but it's just about you. And I really like that. And I think that's the message that influences big followings. Like, yes, they're there to inspire people, and I think people should be inspired, but some people naturally, as humans, we're gonna see stuff and we're gonna compare ourselves to it. And I think that message should just be reinforced, like again and again.
No, definitely. I think that quote really sums up this podcast, really. And when it comes to influencers, I guess they have a moral responsibility to do what he did. And that is to say, the reason why I'm sharing what I'm sharing is because I'm passionate about it and I just wanted to share my joys with you. I'm not trying to set a target for you to hit. This is not, I'm not setting a benchmark here. It's me just sharing my passion in life. In like in the hopes that you are inspired by that and don't necessarily follow what I do, but follow what you want to do and use me as an inspiration. So that's definitely a good quote to sum that up. Yeah.
Thank you, Mithil, for joining me on the podcast. I think this has been a really, really good chat. And overall, we spoke about the abundance mindset, the scarcity mindset, how we can use those to really improve our lives, and like when we're browsing through social media, how we can think about these things, thinking about the type of people that we follow, thinking about like in our own lives, are we living true to our values, or are we playing out some other person's version of success, and really evaluating our own values and think about what's important to us. So
Yeah,
yeah,
speaking on this podcast, I've actually learned more than I thought I could. So, yeah, thank you for that. It's been very
oh,
insightful.
thank you. Yeah, I've learned loads from you. Very, very insightful. Thank you. And I love the progress thing.
Like, be better than
But
what
yeah.
you were yesterday. I think that should be the only metric for which you judge yourself. Brilliant.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. This is actually the last episode in the series because I'm actually starting university next week and I really want to focus on finals because I need to learn like knowledge. And but it's been really fun and I think I will make more. And if you subscribe, then you will stay updated to the episodes. And thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks so much, Mithil, again. Bye, everyone.